She used every trick she had learned from her mother.
Christy, are you okay?
Standing just to the rear of her, Mildred had noted with alarm the sudden tension in her friend's body, and the minute muscular contortions reflecting Christy's mental struggle. The raven-eyed woman standing beside the Baron abruptly looked away as she saw Mildred lean toward Christy, and the link was broken. Christy suppressed a gasp.
I'm okay now. I'll tell you later.
The Ville's Baron sat on the highest of the chairs, the woman seating herself at his right hand. She looked younger, with long raven hair to match her eyes, and sharp features that would have been classically beautiful if not for the hint of something sadistic around those eyes. She appeared to be temperamentally opposed to the Baron, who now spoke with a warmth and sadness in his voice.
So, Harl, you couldn't bring them back alive this time.
Afraid not, alien. Bastards have got blasters, too. Good thing we ran into these here folks. Cyclops here is a good fighter. So are his people.
Really? Not up to the job yourself, then?
The woman's voice was silky, but with a biting undertone that hinted at sarcasm.
Stop riding him, Jenna. Harv usually does okay. Averages means we lose a few.
It wasn't lost on Ryan, or any of his companions, who the real power and ruthlessness was in the Ville of Raw. For Christy, this was particularly alarming. She needed to get the others where they could talk. But not yet. While she pondered this, the Baron confirmed what they had already gathered. He introduced himself as Alien, and the woman as his wife, Jenna. Her smile on being introduced was cold and saurian. She came out from behind the table, stepping delicately past the pile of chilled flesh on the floor, and walked among the sect party, examining the newcomers. She stopped when she was in front of Mildred.
Interesting. We've never had a black quite as dark-skinned as you here. It'll be interesting to talk. How many of your sort survive Skydark, I wonder? Have you little communities?
Mildred was less than inclined to discuss her past, let alone her racial origins. It was all she could do to stop from punching the lights out of the Baron's wife. From the corner of her eye, she caught JB's warning glance.
I was on my own when I joined my friends. It's a long story.
Jenna immediately lost interest and turned to the Baron.
Well, later then. Are we going to cremate now, dear? The poor things will start to stink us out otherwise.
Good point, my dear. And to our guests, please, after the ceremony, you must join us. I want to know more about you. Harvey, please get the fires ready.
The sec man nodded and directed his party to activities they obviously knew too well for their liking. Dean suddenly moved in front of Rankine to help Bodhi lift up one of the children.
We'll help.
Dean was the only one of the companions to offer, and in fact the only one who could now, as the sec man had the job under their control. Ryan noted with interest the look of alarm that crossed Harvey's face as he looked at Jenna, and the flash of anger that crossed hers. Alien, on the other hand, seemed oblivious to this exchange. He looked at Dean kindly.
Thank you, son.
In the face of this, Harvey had little option other than to let Dean continue, although it seemed to make him considerably jumpy. Then the sec men, with Dean, made off the way they had come, the crowd parting to let them pass. They took the first junction and headed off for some time. The atmosphere grew hotter, and Dean felt the sweat bead on him, his clothes beginning to cling, and the hot air searing his lungs.
What's that?
Bodhi, the fat sec man, also felt the heat.
Furnace?
They arrived at the furnace room, a system of old boilers looted from the remains of above ground and linked together to form a system of lighting and hot water. By the careful use of a piping system, it was feasible to run the boilers at a high temperature and yet use very little fuel. They used the trees from the forest above as wood, and it seemed that the wood fibers were densely packed in the muddy stumps. Dean was aware that Harvey's lecture was intended to distract him from the task of taking the chilled children and placing them in the fires. This was done via a metal pallet that led into an oven probably taken from a pre-dark crematorium. Dean would have looked on the sec man's lecture as an attempt to distract him from the horror in front of him, if not for the fact that the sec chief surely had to have been aware after the raid that Dean had seen such things before. The youngster thus reasoned that it was a distraction for something he wasn't supposed to see. But what? Dean had his suspicions and feigned interest while the Sekhmen laid the six corpses on the pallet, and the boy took the opportunity to help Jake and Bodhi push the pallet into the fires. For the first time, laid out as they were on the metal surface, Dean was able to get a good look at the bodies. All of the children had blonde hair and blue eyes. It struck a chord, something he had learned at the Brody School, something his father and Mildred had talked about from pre-dark days. It was that something that had made him want to accompany the Sekhmen here, to confirm what had been bugging him the whole way back, when the corpses had been too dark, too distorted, too contorted to view properly. Blonde hair, blue eyes. The image of the corpses disappearing and charring in fire was somehow horribly familiar.
So, you've been inside the place of legend. Never held with the way all those old stories were turned to myths. Old tech is what led us to Skydark. Why be so crazy about something that got us into shit like this?
Ryan indicated a certain degree of agreement.
Thing is, Baron, it's not what happened then. It's what we can do with it now if we can get our hands on it. If a Baron like yourself had access to it.
The one-eyed man left the phrase hanging in the air as he took a bite from the cooked bird's leg that he held. They were all seated now at the long table, Alien and Jenna holding court while Harvey and Downey sat with them. On the other side of the table were lined the companions, Dean having returned with the Sekhmen from the furnaces, and so far holding his tongue on what he had seen. The Guff and amiable Baron had dismissed his people from the hall after the corpses of the children had been taken away, and they had returned to their homes within the tunnels in a manner that suggested Alien didn't need force or the heavy hand of a Sek force to rule. He had ordered food to be brought to the table, and when it had arrived, had bid the others to join him. After nothing but self-heats for some while, it was a relief to have fresh food, even if the forest environment above ground made them feel dubious about some of the vegetables. Doc also made a point of avoiding the meat, wondering if it was the kind of hawk that had attacked him. Ryan's point hung in the air for some time, the Baron chewing thoughtfully before answering.
I'll tell you this, but we've nothing to hide here. Some of us are the descendants of those who came out of the underground base. It doesn't matter now, but there was a disagreement down there between those who wanted to make a new life and those who thought there still might be a way to set up pre-dark systems of government that could link up so-called alternative communities. So they went their separate ways. Some ended up here, along with some people they'd picked up along the way. Sun children weren't much of a problem, but the forest was. So when they found the tunnels and basements could be linked up, I guess it was almost second nature to get tunneling, especially after living underground for so long anyways. The rest, well, guess we try to keep ourselves to ourselves. Live peaceful and get richer.
Everyone would like that, but it's not that easy.
Alien fixed JB with a friendly but rock-steady stare.
It is here. It is, because we make it so.
There was an undertone that made Ryan cast a glance in the direction of the Sekhmen. Both Harvey and Downey were seemingly unconcerned, but the one-eyed warrior noted that both had shifted their weight as they were seated, so that it would be easier for them to reach their blasters. Jack had also spotted that, and by instinct had moved his own body weight, so that he could move with speed and reach his concealed leaf-bladed knives with ease. Before there was any chance for attention to break the surface, Doc leaned over the table. He addressed his question to the Baron, but his eyes were on Jenna as he spoke.
The question still remains unanswered. Is there any of the poisonous old tech still on the premises? The rancid remnants of a bygone and perhaps best forgotten age? Some relic of that pernicious evil known as the totality concept?
Alien scratched at his beard.
I don't know what you mean by that, old man, but we do have some pieces that we try to get going. It's all useful if it can be made to work.
Then I would be most grateful if you would let me and my companions view it at some point, for interest's sake.
Perhaps.
But Alien's answer wasn't important. Doc had already discovered what he wanted to know, and watching him, the others also drew their own conclusions. Doc hadn't idly brought up the name of the totality concept, the umbrella under which many government black operations had been carried out before Skydark. He had spoken the name in the hopes of eliciting some kind of reaction. The Baron hadn't recognized the name at all, and it seemed genuine in his bemusement at the use of the term. But then Doc hadn't been watching the Baron. His eyes had been kept firmly on Jenna, and he had seen her sharp features harden as the words were spoken.